Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is great to be with you guys. It is a Tuesday, not the typical John and Wayne show. He's got some stuff going on. Shout out to Wayne. He's the best in the business. But today is going to be an interesting episode as we continue our roster countdown. We're in the 30s, all right? Look, we're just going to sometimes... You just got to take your medicine. you might not like the way it tastes, but hopefully it does its job and things get better. That's what you're hoping for. So we have not one but two guys today on the roster countdown. We're doing these in five-player segments. We got two players that are just going to kind of, I don't know, maybe leave bad taste in your mouth for a while, but like it's kind of what it is. Now, having said that, one of the premier rookies that everybody loves. We've got some great role players in this segment today as well, but sandwiched in between some just kind of, it's just kind of the way it goes. And sometimes you just got to do these things. You got to eat your vegetables sometimes. And hopefully that is what comes across today. This is episode 1669. Shout out to Zach, Ben, and Josh for helping with this entire series. And as of this recording, the 49ers, we're 72 days away from the regular season kickoff game out in Australia. 72 days. Jeff Stover days. Shout out to all the old hats out there. Two Super Bowl wins, 30-plus sacks in his career, just beast defensive end off the left side, just stud. Well before my time, but something that I am fighting very, very difficult to, learn the guys that came before my time. We're going to be the faithful and the best fan base ever. Hopefully we take a small part of that. Want to say thank you to all the hashtag CCs, the countdown crew coming in strong. Monkey was first today, Rowdy second, RTP third. Appreciate you guys and everybody, whether you are first, second, third, whenever, even if you show up late. That's what it is. RTP, get well soon. That's what we're hoping for. These guys going to get better. Hang in there. Yeah, like the picture. That's what I should have done. The cat, like, hanging onto the tree. Hang in there for the thumbnail. It's what it is. I don't think they're turds. I just think there's a couple guys that just – the 49ers really need to show up. Haven't showed up well in the past. And they got to go somewhere on this countdown. And the process that we use for this is, we rank 1 through 91. We have four separate lists. We average them together. They got to land somewhere. Now, we're starting off with a much happier player that we should be excited about. New player. Size, versatility, experience. The 49ers signed this player off of a huge deal from the Packers. Didn't live up to it. Had some minor injuries. They were really unhappy. They cut him 1 year into a multi-year big-time contract. 49ers scoop in and get pennies on the dollar. Nate Hobbs comes in number 38 overall, the versatile jack-of-all-trades Swiss Army knife defensive back. He could play all five defensive back positions. And, has been a slot corner, but he's 6 foot, 195. Could play safety, could play big nickel, could play outside, could play, regular nickel, dime package. Nate Hobbs can kind of do it all and has throughout his career. Played college football at Illinois back before everybody changed colleges once, twice, three times. He's wearing jersey number 22. He's only 26 years old. Not long in the tooth by any stretch whenever you just look at he's going into his sixth season, but he's 26. We just drafted 25-year-old rookies, plural. So it's kind of interesting because he's played 6 years in the NFL. Nate Hobbs has. But he's 26 years old. He's still got a lot of football left on him. He's born and raised in Louisville, Kentucky. Went to Louisville Mel High School. Now, interesting story. His mother was a therapist. And so he, like, I was really, really curious. It kind of went down a little bit of a rabbit hole, YouTube videos and read some articles. Really, really cool. Nate Hobbs' mom's a therapist, right? And so I'm like, dude, that's very, very unique. Well, I found lots of times where Nate Hobbs shared very personal, you know, talks about anxiety, puts a lot of that stuff out there. His father passed away at a young age. He talked about how that, you know, is problematic and channeling through all those things, plus the pressures of playing in the NFL and living up to, like, it's pretty cool to have somebody with the emotional awareness. I just thought it was unique. It's something that's not talked about a lot. So shout out to Nate Hobbs and his mom, trying to put a lot of stuff out there. I love it. Growing up, Nate Hobbs participated in track and field, huge long jump, high jump guy, amazing. Like, he is explosive lower body, cat-like tape. It shows when he pounces, he pounces. Was the 15th player coming out of Kentucky. Was a three-star recruit, committed to Illinois. Drafted in the fifth round by the Raiders. And, man, that fifth round is, to say, 49ers-centric. This is way back in 2021. That's where we're at now, entering six seasons. That fifth round, it's like all 49ers. The 49ers drafted three players in that round, but then they've added way more. Jalen Moore they drafted, Diamondor Lenore, Talanoa Fungo, who's, you know, moved on now. But Luke Farrell was also in that fifth round. Garrett Wallow in that fifth round. Derek Forrest in that fifth round. Jason Pinnock in that fifth round. And Nate Hobbs. Like, over a third of that fifth round from 2021, it's all 49ers players, past, present, future. Like, it's, I don't know, probably no interest to anybody else but myself, but I'm going through it. I'm looking through the fifth round. I'm going through the old draft, whatever. And I'm just like, oh, no way. What? And another one. Like, it was just like, boom, 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 boom. Now, I will say the 49ers walked out of that draft with the two best players in that fifth round. Talanoa Funga, head and shoulders, two All-Pros. He's the best player that round. Diamondor Lenore, I think, would be second. And the players that they've had, Jalen Moore went bad. The other players, you kind of say what you want. But Nate Hobbs fits in the realm of that is a A-plus draft choice in the fifth round for the Raiders. But, you know, everybody's better after they leave the Raiders. Nobody's at their best with the Raiders. And I don't think we've been able to say that for decades. Just such a poorly run franchise. And maybe things will turn around eventually, but I don't know. With the Davises in charge, I have a hard time seeing it. Now, Nate Hobbs comes out, good start to his career, and he lands a four-year, $48 million deal with the Packers. They paid big time to bring him in. Didn't live up to the deal. It had some nagging injuries, played in a lot of games, wasn't the best fit. There was some, you know, just locker room stuff. They cut him 1 year into the deal, just swallowed all the dead money and moved on. 49ers jump in, low risk. They got him pennies on the dollar. The 49ers signed him 1 year, $3.5 million deal. He just had a 3 year, $12 million per year deal. 49ers get him for $3.5 million, 1 year. Come prove it. Rebuild your career, go sign somewhere else for big money, or stick around. There's options there. $3.1 million guaranteed the 49ers get. Yeah, like, he is making this roster. I think the biggest, I don't want to say that because you jump into the Debo and, you know, some of the stuff. Usually on these one-year deals, I think the biggest I've ever seen them walk away from was Nate Sudfeld, which was right at $2 million, and he got waived and picked up, so the 49ers weren't even on the hook for that. $3.1 million, I just don't see the Niners walking away from. Yeah, so we're kind of in the territory now, number 38 on this list, where everybody's kind of locked in. From here on up, I fully expect every one of these to make the 53, unless there's an injury that you put on NFI, PUP, whatever else. But as far as like cut wave from the 53, I don't think so. I just don't see it. Now, Nate Hobbs did get a DUI back in 2022, found asleep in his car. Want to include that. I think that kind of plays a role into this. But whenever you see what Nate Hobbs has done on the field, he's played in 62 games, 43 starts, 308 combined tackles. He's a physical corner that can play everywhere. Slot, big nickel, outside, safety, doesn't matter. Whatever you need, Nate Hobbs. And I think that's kind of where he's going to be. Might be the first corner off the bench. might be the first defensive back off the bench, no matter who goes down. Dude, just throw Nate Hobbs in there. Maybe he fights to earn a starting spot over somebody like a Renardo Green if Renardo Green can't fix his, you know, lack of football IQ and keeps jumping all those out routes. You know, those double moves just eat him up all the time and just make so many bad choices. Dude, Nate Hobbs gets in there. He might not be able to get him out. So I don't have him in the starting lineup yet. Would not be shocked if this dude starts 10 or more games for the 49ers this season. You got a corner that goes down, he's the guy. He steps in. Now, 308 tackles, 16 tackle for losses, good. 3 sacks, 21 pass breakups, 3 interceptions. He's much more of a make it difficult to play corner than he is like a ball skills, interception, change the game type corner. He's a consistent physical corner that fits with the 49ers love. He's got the talent. He's played majority in the slot, but he's played outside too. He can kind of do everything. He really, really can. Fun player. Nate Hobbs comes in number 38 on the roster countdown. Let's get back to the chat. Kimbro, it's Taco Tuesday. That's what's up, man. Every day should be Taco Day. It's my number one. Maria, love the title of the stream. Not all 53 are going to be superstars. Just need to be sold. They just need to be solid. Nate Hobbs, I think these are the types. Nate Hobbs, I want to just kind of signify a little bit more. Nate Hobbs is the type of player that was not on the 49ers roster last season. Nate Hobbs signifies, even with the injuries, even if somebody just falls off a cliff, you have raised the floor of expectations at premium positions. This just gives the 49ers options. You're not in dire straits if one or two guys goes down. You're not there anymore. The biggest difference between 2025 and 2026 is veteran depth. That's the difference. Now, hopefully, the injury bug is a big difference as well. You're not bit by all those injuries this year, hopefully. But even if you are, Nate Hobbs just helps you sleep better at night because you know the dude can step in. You know that he can. As someone who travels nonstop for sporting events at the 49ers Rush Road Trip, I can tell you one of the most difficult things is the logistics. Finding out where to stay, how to get there, the timing, how to get your whole group, everything all together. Well, Outdoorsy solves all of these problems. And thousands of RVs and campers nationwide are available right wherever you are. And there's so many ways you could do it. You could drive the RV yourself, you can tow it, or you can have it delivered and have it fully set up at your destination. It's so simple. It's 3 easy steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. You book with confidence. It comes with insurance, customer support, protection, all that's included. Then you hit the road or arrive and relax. Whether you're driving, towing, getting it delivered, it doesn't matter. And so for sporting events, you want to go check out the World Cup this summer. You're wanting to, it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. It doesn't matter what you want or need. They have you covered. So right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed, completely removed from their booking in 2026 with code 49ers. That's 49ERS at outdoorsy.com. That's outdoorsy.com and use code 49ers at checkout to remove all service fees. You might have heard the phrase dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co. It's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's TROLLCO.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. What's up, Cool Jazz? I'm sure I mispronounced that, but that is awesome. You are the freaking man. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Right here, Jot, thanks for keeping us informed with your valuable content. What's up, man? That's what's up. I appreciate you guys. You're not late. You're just on time. Just glad to have you here. I love this Hob signing. I wish it would have been a multi-year deal, but I get it for him as he's trying to reestablish. Look, I could consistently be this guy. I didn't go through. I skipped over the injuries somehow on Nate Hobbs. My bad. Let me go back. Nate Hobbs' injuries. Ankle in 2024, missed a lot of time. Had knee surgery last training camp. He had a meniscus tear. Then he misses, he didn't miss time just in training camp, but again, a corner coming off, you know, a meniscus surgery, he wasn't at his best when the season started last year. Then he had an MCL in week 10 and missed 3 weeks in the opposite knee. So then in week 17, had another knee issue. Like, he's just got to get right. Finish the year on IR for the Packers. There's a big reason why the 49ers got him at a one-year, $3.5 million deal. So what are you getting? Are you getting a player that's going to be in and out of the lineup, even though he's been beyond durable the majority of his career? But the last season and a half, he's had a lot of pesky ankle, meniscus, small things. Is he past that now? I don't know. He's 26 years old. You don't like seeing both knees have issues, but all these have just been kind of little nagging, pesky, whatever. It's not like torn ACLs. It's not like blown Achilles. It's not like major hamstrings. No, it's an ankle and a meniscus. Best ability, availability. You're paying $3.5 million. You're getting it on a discount, kind of like buying a used car. And I'm not trying to, I hate this analogy already, not trying to belittle Nate Hobbs as a human. That's how I'm trying to say it all. But you don't always know what you're going to get. But whenever the price is right, can't be too upset. It's kind of like the Dre Greenlaw deal, who's missed so much time throughout his entire career. But the impact play that he brings, you're not paying premium. You're not paying brand new. You're not paying, you know, drive it off the showroom floor. No, no, no. You're getting this on a side lot on a crazy good deal. Worst comes to worst, Nate Hobbs, you know, plays well, goes signs elsewhere. You get a compensation pick a year later. Cost you $3 million to get a corner that is a starting level corner in the NFL. I'm with you, Kimbrough. I loved the Hobbs signing. It's not sexy. It doesn't, you know, get you a bunch of clicks and views and whatever else, but it gets the damn job done and raises the floor play of the defensive back room at multiple spots. Corner, nickel, safety, special teams. Man, it does it all. Maybe Nate Hobbs could take Ciaran Neal's place. Not that I'm trying to kick Ciaran Neal out the door as a special teams ace guy, but if you get that play from Nate Hobbs, who is actually a cornerback, actually a defensive back, whereas Ciaran Neal is just a special teamer, I think the 49ers get a lot to gain. Ah, oh, Kimbrough, you are so kind and generous. Thank you, my friend. He says, missed a couple live streams in the Zoom hangout. That's okay. We had a great time at the Zoom hangout last night. It was a good time. We'll have another one next month. So try to super chat every time you're alive because I would pay for this content and the community. It's so amazing. Dude, Kimbrough, you are the freaking man. You're such a legend, and your generosity and support keeps me going. I love my job. I have the best job in the world. I do believe that. Some days it is harder than others to hit the record button. Today wasn't that day. Today I was pretty pumped. But the community, Kimbrough, Logan, Maria, I could go on and on in this chat. It makes it a lot easier, and love you guys. I really can't appreciate you enough. I can't say it enough. Just cannot say it enough. You guys are incredible. Logan, I'm telling you all this, cornerback room outside the top three, Lenore, Renardo, Green, Upton, Stout is going to be a dogfight in camp. You look at the depth chart of the cornerback room. There's 9 corners. Demo, Renardo, Green, Upton, Stout, Ephesians, Prysock, Nate Hobbs, Darrell Luter Jr., Jack Jones, Jacob Robinson, Eli Apple. Yeah. Jack Jones is your number 7? That dude started so many games. You got seven. You're not keeping seven cornerbacks. Nobody keeps seven cornerbacks. Niners could. And yeah, back to that Sudfeld. The reason why they walked away from Nate Sudfeld was because Brock Purdy beat him out. 100%. Howdy. Hobbs is a Pinnock upgrade at the very least. Well said. Pinnock was good. Not great. Not consistent. I wish the Niners would get rid of the big nickel. I don't like it. Just keep Upton Stout out there. I don't give a damn if a team's in 13 personnel. Upton Stout tackles incredibly well. I kind of want to get rid of the big nickel, personally. Just leave Upton Stout out there or go 4-3. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how that goes. Hobbs doesn't beat himself is what I love about him. Yeah, he's always right where the film is good. The film is consistently good. Last year, you could tell he was nagging and never at his peak performance level. Packers just were like, screw it. Three strikes, you're out with the injuries. They moved on. Yeah, that's where it is. Right here, Tommy, why did we have to learn the hard way with corners? 2021, Storm and Norman. Dude, that season was rough. I will never forget that Miami game. I will never, the Ryan Fitzpatrick just torching our number five corner who just looked like John Chapman out there, dude. Just can't, no hips, can't move, can't run, can't do anything. I will always blame that game on Akella Witherspoon, but that's okay. That's just me. Rick Diaz, what's up, man? Appreciate you, buddy. Chicago in the house. Love it, love it, love it. And Rick goes on to say, you know, I want the Niners to make a big-time trade. Don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath. They should get rid of some players that are hurt all the time. Nobody wants those guys. Why should they keep them? That's my question for you. Yeah, nobody wants players that are hurt all the time, but the price has to be right. You got Nate Hobbs for $3.1 million guaranteed. You're getting way more than you paid for. So, yeah, there are some of these guys that are just like, dude, they're injured all the time. Nobody wants injured players. So, like, to discard those resources, somebody has to want to buy them. Nobody wants to buy them. So, yeah, but I feel you. Football, NFL is 100% injury sport. No doubt about it. It's what it is. yeah, right here, Logan. You're paying consistency and potential upside. I love that. I love that. I love that. Big Toe, before Nate Hobbs went to the Packers and got placed on the outside only, we knew what we were going to get with Hobbs. Yeah. They tried to adjust him. They tried to do the Demo approach. Nate Hobbs and Demo, very similar in the way they play. Demo thrived on the inside. They tried to pay him and kick him outside. 49ers did that. Demo was successful in that. Nate Hobbs, the injuries kind of struck him down. Yeah, it's what it is. Tommy trying to coach people up. Oh, gosh, Tommy, you freaking cracked me up. Don't put anybody in timeout, please. Don't do that. You guys are awesome. Love you, John. This series made by offseason. I love hearing that. The work and time, it's a lot. Yeah. Thank you. Ryan, trade for Jared first. He is untradeable. You traded the Browns traded the best defensive player in the NFL to get Jared Verse. Why would they turn around and trade him? They have the youngest core in the NFL, and they've got a solid core. Now, they're the Browns. It's not going to work. But, no, there's nothing the 49ers could give to get Jared Verse. You can't get him. Like, you can't. You could offer Nick Bosa, which they don't want that contract. You could offer Mikael Williams. He's coming off an ACL. Why would they do that? Like, there's nothing you could offer. There's nothing. You give two first-round picks, they would not take it. I wouldn't take it. It's just what it is. So I don't think that is even a possibility. Number 37, this is my guy. He's going to be the starting left guard. I'm just going to keep pounding this thing until the cows come home, and y'all could argue with me, and I might be wrong because it's a four-horse race for that left guard spot. But Connor Colby comes in number 37 on the roster countdown. Tough. Mullet experience in college looked like he fit last year, just knucklehead. Him and Renardo Green were quite similar. The talent is there. Just he'd have one or two plays a game where it was just throw your hat down. Like, what are you doing, man? Starts the season, seventh round rookie starting on the offensive line next to Trent Williams. A lot of consistent tape, couple knucklehead plays. He got pulled. Ben Bartsch gets injured, get put back in there. He gets pulled. Burford goes in there, kind of takes that spot, and they eventually went with Burford for the rest of the year. But Connor Colby, especially in trash time, this is somebody that played a lot of snaps last year, 523 snaps last year as a rookie, seventh-round rookie. Play was this. You just had to get rid of the big head-scratchers. Is the talent enough to say, you know what? Let's see what happened. And OTAs were a huge bump for Connor Colby. Brett Toth, guess what? Not out there practicing. I've learned I've pronounced his name wrong, so I'm trying to fix it. I'm going to go back to Brett Toth occasionally. Sorry, Texas, I'm dumb. Just what it is. I didn't know if you guys knew it has a B at the end of it. But anyway, Connor Colby wears jersey number 75. He's 6'6", 309, Mahler, 23 years old, young. Iowa kid through and through. Went to Kennedy High School in Cedar Rapids. Four-star recruit. He had every big program out there offering him scholarships. He chose Iowa, stayed at Iowa, became a team captain at Iowa, started games as a freshman for Kirk Ferentz in the outside zone scheme. That is unheard of. Dude has started. He had 50 starts at Iowa. Some of the most all-time since Kirk Ferentz has been there. Dude is just awesome. He started the mullet look and actually encouraged Jennings Dunker to do it. If you guys were, you know, focused on those videos. But yeah, Connor Colby's just, the dude just looks good, man. He just looks good. Got pulled a lot of times, but I'm telling you, especially if you go back to kind of the trash time games in the second half where he would go in to close out games when games were out of hand. I'm telling you, play is ascending. Play is ascending. I'm excited about this guy. Even if he doesn't win the left guard spot outright, which I think he will, he's going to get a chance to play at some point at one of the guard spots. He is awesome. Drafted in the seventh round, 249 overall. One of the last picks in the draft going into the second season. He played 13 games last season as a rookie for the Niners. Six starts. Gave up two sacks. Six quarterback hits, 11 hurries. He's a better run blocker than he is a pass pro guy. It's in the Niners' best interest that Connor Colby wins that starting job, just holds on to it. The idea of having Dominic Pooney and Connor Colby as your guards look for, get me excited. Just rugged, tough, finisher, mean, consistent. Just got to get rid of those kind of knuckle head scratch plays. You look at his PFF grades, and they kind of reflect that. 64.6 run blocking. He's above average. 33.7 pass pro. He had some just really bad pass pros. That's what he's got to work on. Consistency there. He does that. Watch out. Made $941,000 last year. And again, you start looking at just the guard depth chart. Dominic Pooney, Connor Colby, Brett Toth, Robert Jones, Carver Willis, the rookie, Nick Zakel. It's a fight. It is a fight that is there at that left guard spot. And I think probably going to get a lot of paid attention to. And look, here's what's going to happen. Training camp's going to start. Don't focus on who's getting first snaps there or whatever else. You got to wait till the pads come on. And so the first couple practices, whatever, people are going to be putting out left guard, whatever. Until the practices come on, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Till the pads come on at practice, it doesn't matter. So we'll just have to see there. You guys in the chat, man, you got to be kidding me. Maria Connor Colby, I feel like he's going to take a jump this season. With the experience last year, yeah, he had a lot, man. Played 500 snaps. You got to love that. That's right. Yeehaw. Let's go. Howdy. Colby got the trial by fire. Feel good if he's on that upward trajectory. Gosh, I hope he gets there. Ben, who helps us out with this series. I'm with you, John. Colby's taking that job, not giving it back. It's the best thing for the 49ers. This dude has played so much in this scheme. I'm pretty freaking pumped. I am buying Connor Colby stock any which way I can, any which way I can. Any which way I can. Dude is just, he's a fun damn player. That's all I can say. Now, all right, guys, we're about to do it. It's about time to take our medicine. But before we do, if you go to any 49ers road games, you know who you got to party with.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, here we go. I mean, this player has to be on the count out somewhere. Luke Farrell. Oh, tight end. Number 36? Like, where do you put Luke Farrell on the countdown? He's a starter. He's tight end one until Kittle gets back. And even after Kittle gets back, is Kyle Shanahan going to play Jake Tonjes and George Kittle together? He's never done it. So... Let me just be honest about Luke Farrell. It's not all bad. The bad is very bad, but it's not all bad. Very good run blocker when George Kittle's in. Bad run blocker when George Kittle's not in. Great special teamer. That is consistent throughout the entire. Luke Farrell is one of your top four special teams players. That's not a kicker. Like, he was consistent. Where's jersey number 89? We break down all the special teams tape, every single play. Luke Farrell's an A-plus special teamser. He's good. Pass protection, which was one of his best traits at Jacksonville, where he finished out his entire rookie deal. Dude was a hogwash, man. He was so bad. Last year, Luke Farrell was number 26. He falls to 36. And it would have been a much bigger fall, but the Niners didn't bring in one tight end to kind of compete. You know, Dinkins, I like a lot, but tight end's one of the hardest positions to transfer from college to NFL. I just have a very tough time for Khalil Dinkins to be a guy that could take Luke Farrell's job. I just don't see it, especially early on when you need that to happen. Now, eventually, sure, and maybe Khalil Dinkins could be a tight end next year, or if there's an injury, he could step up. That's great. But, man, Luke Farrell, oh, yeah. Number 36, he got to be somewhere. This is where he lands. 6'5", 250, he's 28 years old. 49ers paid out the wazoo to bring him. It was their one biggest free agency move last year, that Mac Jones. Whenever you look money-wise, they paid big time to get this dude over here. Three-year, $15 million deal, but it's only really 2 years because there's a void year on it. I mean, I will never understand. I understand why. I just will never understand the player. 49ers have looked for that Charlie Warner replacement forever and just strike after strike after strike after strike. They're just missing out. Luke Farrell ain't it. You're getting some quality special teams play, and he can run block, can't pass block, absolute liability in the receiving game, and plays his worst when Kittle's out. Instead of elevating your play, hey, next guy up, Kittle's out, we need you to step up. This dude sucks every single time he's not next to Kittle. When Kittle's in, there's some good quality tape. Pass blocking, run blocking, everything. Playing next to Jake Tonjes, this dude just shrinks down. It's weird. Luke Farrell, you know, Ohio State guy, went to Perry High School in Perry, Ohio. Older brother Nathan played for Ohio State as well. Four-star recruit. And smart as hell. Four-time all-academic Big Ten. Played four seasons at Jacksonville before the 49ers brought him over in free agency. Great special teamer. He's just got to be better. I remember the probably worst play ever was the Seattle game, and the playoffs was already decided. Kittle's already injured. He was out the week before. Brock Purdy steps back, and Luke Farrell's wide freaking open, just like almost like a hitch route, just 5 yards turn around. Brock Purdy steps back. First read. Goes to throw it to Luke Farrell. Pump fakes it. And like, dude, I can't throw it to stone hands. Pulls the ball down. Looks over to the other side of the field. Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall run into each other and fall down. And it's just like, okay, I've got an open tight end. My first read. But I can't throw it to this guy. I can't throw it to him. Yeah, that's how bad he is. All right, cool. Let's look at our wide receivers. They ran into each other. It's like the damn little Giants out there. Like, not even postseason little Giants. You're talking like first game little Giants. Like, and it's all because Luke Farrell's just not good at football. He can run block and he can play special teams. That does not make a tight end. Put him next to Kittle. Yeah. He's going into his sixth season. He ran a 4.8. He was drafted in the fifth round of 2021. We already talked about that round. He's played 83 games, 24 starts. Scored his first touchdowns of his career last season, but like they were kind of by accident. Did they pay too much for him? 100%. Yeah, there's no doubt. And what makes it even worse is there's like a $4.6 million void year cap hit next year. You're going to be paying this dude almost $5 million against the cap next year to not even play, which might be better than having him out there. It's just rough, man. It just, it's just rough. It hurts. Look at this. Fair. And that's why 49ers unpopular but necessary players. Like, you got to have them. I wish they would have brought somebody in to compete with them. I still think that there are guys out there on the free agency market that you could sign and bring in. Yeah, it's just, it's bad, man. Chapman, I'd rather start you at tight end. What's up? I started at tight end now. I got a varsity letter for that. I was not great. I wasn't good at anything. I was like Nate Hobbs with less upside. I started varsity, but I went to a small school, Castleberry. I wasn't very good. But I was on varsity for multiple years. And whoever got hurt, I took that job. I started every single game, but I was just the next best at every position. I wasn't the best at any position. So like, I remember one year, like I played five positions in one game one time just because people kept getting hurt. And it was like, all right, Chapman, go play that. Now you even got to take some snaps at quarterback, which was hilarious. I had to switch my jersey out at the time. I went from O-line to freaking quarterback. We ran the pitch option, which was hilarious. I got two plays in. Coach used a timeout, put me back on the O-line. Anyway, I digress. Yeah, Maria, Farrell was sold to me like a great blocker. Fake news. He's good in the run game. You look at, he had a 71 grade run blocking for a tight end. That's great. He had a 46 pass blocking. He was brought in to be the pass blocking guy so Kittle could run more routes. Didn't work that way. Did not work that way. It just didn't. Peanut Jeff, what's up, man? Luke Farrell should be right next to Brindle. Over the corner with the deuce cap on. Yeah, hopefully they could give us a decent showing this year. It's going to be both of their last years. This is it for Jake Brindle and Luke Farrell. I don't think that they come back out. Logan, man, I hope Dinkins beats out Farrell. It's just so hard at the tight end spot. I hope so. Big Toe, thanks for the super chat, man. What happened? Him and Sauber were supposed to be decent before they got to us. Sauber freaking went to Seattle and won a Super Bowl and contributed over there. He was terrible for us. I would take Sauber over Luke Farrell. I think Sauber was better, and he got paid a fraction of the cost. Sauber was better. Sauber was worse on special teams. Luke Farrell's way better on special teams. But I'd take Sauber in the receiving game and blocking game over whatever. Ryan, could the 49ers go after Michael Mayer? They just paid him extra money. No, he's off the market. I love Michael Mayer. I think they just redid his contract. Players that get new contracts usually don't get traded. Ben, even though Farrell's a vet, maybe he takes a step the second year. Can't go down. Cannot go down. Can only get better. You're at rock bottom, buddy. Well, only one way to go. Got to go up. And if, even if you cut Farrell, you lose money because you have that huge void year. So 49ers ain't cutting them. That contract is rough. It's rough. Logan, Farrell's not even fool's gold. He's costume jewelry. Y'all rough, man. Farrell caused the interception, bounced off his palms of his hands, served it up like you freaking worked at Fogo de Chow. Like, you just giving stuff away. You get an interception. It's bad. It's bad. Big Toad back with the super chat. Thank you, bro. Wish we had signed him. That way we could have maybe gotten Charlie Kohler. Oh, I like Charlie Kohler, who can actually block with upside athleticism and all those things. Kyle really likes veteran tight ends. He likes veteran centers and veteran tight ends. It's very rare to get a rookie tight end. They have a higher bust rate in the draft than quarterbacks do. Tight end is hard because you've got to know all the run game and all the pass game. So, like, your receiver and offensive line, you got to know it all. And that is just difficult. And you're blocking freaking Danielle Hunter and Miles Garrett, and then you're running routes the very next, like, it's just hard. Tight end, and that's a big reason why I don't like drafting tight ends early. It's a higher bust percentage than freaking quarterbacks, and it's one of the most devalued positions in the NFL. So, like, I want to pay the devalued positions. I want to pay safeties, off-ball linebackers, running backs, tight ends. Those are value. They ain't going to break the bank. Spend your high-quality draft picks on the premium positions, then let them walk. That's just, unless you got a foundational player, then you lock them up. But, yeah. Monkey, he reminds me of me. Kyle Shanahan on a wide receiver and Chapman with Farrell. Kyle meant it as a compliment. I meant it as an insult. That's the difference. And whenever they ask, like, why'd you draft Ricky Pearsall? Hey, reminded me of me. As a positive, I'm not spending a first-round pick on freaking a Chapman similar type player. That's a priority free agent, man. I don't think you meant it as a shot, but I didn't take it as one. I didn't take it as one. Okay, here we go. Let's get back to some good stuff. Let's get back to, yeah, some feel-good player. This is the best value draft pick the 49ers had this year. You got to remember, put yourself back in draft weekend context. You wait all freaking months for the first-round pick. 49ers on the clock. Oh, they trade back. Oh, we love it. Everybody wanted to trade back. Well, 49ers get a pick here in a couple picks. We're going to wait. 49ers on the clock. Oh, they trade back again. No pick today. So you go to bed and you're just like, well, those are two good trade backs. And, you know, all right, cool. Wonder who we're going to get. A lot of good players. Get there on the clock. 49ers take Deshaun Stribling, which I like. Deshaun Stribling is one of my rush crush players. One of 13. I loved him. Didn't love him 33rd overall. Whatever. Then you get back up the clock, trade back. Romello Height, cool. And it's just like, what are we even doing? Then you get the third round, another Kyle Shanahan running back, Kalen Black, who I didn't even have a draftable grade on. What the hell, man? Reach, consensus mock draft, all that stuff. And then you get Grayson Halton. After everything you did, you totally redeemed yourself. Like, that was the Grayson Halton pick, the value above consensus, the Howie Roseman-style draft approach, however you want to put it. Fans love this pick. I love this pick. I love the player, even though he played for OU. Disgusting. Hate OU. But he's a defensive tackle, wears jersey number 93. 6'2", 293. He is your ideal B-gap, 3-tech, just slicer. Just slicer. Grew up in San Diego. His father, Buford, and mother, Kim Dagey, his father started this Always Give Back Sports Foundation, which is awesome. Help kids in the community develop their skills through sports. Gotta love that. He's been raised around that. He went to St. Augustine High School, a private Catholic school in San Diego. Played both ways, was a tight end, defensive lineman. 22nd overall player coming out of California, goes to OU over a lot of very quality programs, no clue why, gets drafted in the fourth round, 107 overall, ran a 4.82. He's a hyper athlete, good. This is our pre-draft write-up from the 49ers Rush draft book before he got drafted, okay? Now, if you want to watch Grayson Halton, go over to the 49ersrush.com or Patreon channel. Links in the description of this video and podcast. We got a full coaching tape up on him. You'll see exactly how he translates into the 49ers. It's not highlights. It's me explaining every single play. It's pretty freaking good. This is our pre-draft write-up on Grayson Halton. Good motor and speed. Impressive athlete when you watch the tape. Very effective on stunts. Has a swim move that is pretty good. It's his go-to. Lacks the ideal length and footwork. He's a little bit smaller. Tends to play finesse in a violent position. High school tight end and athleticism shows on tape. Lower body twitches there. He is shot out of a cannon. The GTFO, Chris Kucerik, the 40 yards D-line coach, talks about all the time. Grayson Halton has it in spades. Crazy get off. Third best vertical ever for a defensive tackle. 36 and a half inch vertical at 300 pounds. What? That's insane, man. Love his pass rush arsenal. Swim moves his best, but you see some double arm overs. You see some forklift. You see some swats. You see some clubs. Like he's got a lot of moves. Got to perfect him a little bit better. And he never was really a true starter. That was kind of the true kind of permeating factor with this draft class. You get guys like Kalon Black and Grayson Halton that were rotational depth pieces that provide sparks. But how do you go from being a rotational defensive tackle at OU? Their defenses were never great, but to now you're going to be a defensive starter in the NFL. It happens. It's rare. But Grayson Halton doesn't have to be a starter for the 49ers. You have Oso Odighizuwa in that three tech. That's where he will be rotating behind him. And that's kind of like the two comps that I gave for... Oh, did I put them in here? Dang it. I'm like, oh, yeah, there they are. The two comps I gave to Grayson Halton before the Niners draft him were Lamar Houston and Larry Ogunjobi. He just gets to be behind Osa. You just learn. When Osa comes off, you go in the Brava group. Go get after it. Like, you only have to play 20 snaps a game. Even if Grayson Halton becomes a stud, you're probably not going to start him in the plugger role. That's going to be C.J. West or Alfred Collins. So you now have this two deep, I would argue three, four deep of defensive tackles. Like, that's just an awesome rotation. Snaps, he only played 900 snaps in his career. Again, part of a rotation from early on, but has never been the guy. That gave a 1 out of 10 on experience scale. Now, he's only 22, so he's young, which I do like that. Versatility, we gave a 5. Speed, a 9 out of 10. He's quick. Acceleration, 8 out of 10. Injury, 9 out of 10. Never really had any major injuries. He had some undisclosed injuries and some camp issues. Never missed time in the season. Pass rush, 6. Run game, 9. That's the trait out of 10. How we rated Grayson. And all those were done before we drafted him. So we don't skew them or change them after the Niners draft him, even though we do more work. It's a little too easy to get a little biased, right? It's like, oh, I really like this guy. Let's give him some more. Let's bump this up. I don't do that. 49ers fit scale, he was a 9 out of 10. Big reason he didn't get 10 out of 10, lack of experience. Niners usually go after the guys that play a lot of football. Grayson Halton doesn't fit that. He's been a rotational guy his entire career. Played a lot of games, but not a lot of starts, not a lot of snaps. You look at his PFF grades, 84.7 overall, awesome. 76.9 pass rush, awesome. 86.9 run game. You get this undersized slasher that is great in the run. Undersized defensive tackle. You can pass rush, but he's great against the run. You're thinking Kevin Givens, one of the longest tenured Niners for the 49ers, no longer with the team, but with upside. And that's what he's going to be asked to do. You ain't even got to start here, Grayson. You're Osa number 2, baby. We'll see what it develops into. 8.5 career sacks, 17.5 career TFLs. I had a third round grade on him. Niners got him in the 4th. Fun player. Really fun player. And where he fits, he's going to be in that Bravo group. 100% making the roster. 4th round picks make rosters. And one of those players that's just like, yeah. Very similar to how everybody felt about C.J. West last year. Like, dude, that's great value. If you would have took Grayson Halton in the 2nd round, nobody would have been pissed. Took him in the 3rd round, everybody would have been happy. You take Grayson Halton in the 4th round, hell yeah. Let's ride. Let's ride. Let's go. That's the style. And again, I'm a Longhorn. I hate OU. I love this kid. I was high on him before the Niners drafted him. And it's just, it ain't stopping. This train ain't stopping. it's what it is. Gregory, 73 years young and a 49ers fan all my life. Love your content, John. Gregory, you are the best of all of us. And that is just amazing. I hope that we do credit. I wish I had your knowledge. One day I hope to have your experience, but man, I just read this and I'm just like, hell yeah, that is awesome. Gregory, you are a freaking legend, man. So cool. So cool. Logan, Grayson Halton was the best value pick we made in the draft. I'd argue the best value pick 49ers have made in a couple years. CJ West last year, very similar spot. Grayson Halton this year, right there. And howdy, yeah. Halton is the perfect rotational piece for Osa. Eerily similar playing style, very similar. He doesn't have the arms that Osa had. Osa's just got those long-ass arms and uses them so well. Grayson Halton doesn't have that. But Grayson Halton does have the elite speed, explosive, you know, burst from the lower body. Way more so than Orsa. He just doesn't have the arms and the length. That's kind of where that is. Loga, again, back. Osa, CJ West, Alfred Collins, Sebastian Valdez, Grayson Valdez. Sounds like a really good defensive tackle. Don't give up on Evan Anderson. Don't give up on Evan Anderson. And then you've got your two kind of highest price priority free agents that you brought in, and Bryson Easton and James Thompson Jr. Like, that is a young, exciting room. It's going to be hard to keep it to five. You know, sometimes the 49ers keep six defensive tackles. Whew. Whew. Man, I'm just saying. Oh, there we go. Charles Haley. Yeah, he was from James Madison. He was there. Yeah, Ben, yeah, I see Halton as an upgrade for Kevin Givens. Same. Very same. And I loved Kevin Givens, man. The thing that made Kevin Givens just, you couldn't get rid of him. He was your smallest defensive tackle in the room, which Grayson Halton is now the smallest, him and Sebastian Valdez. But his technique against the double team made it impossible to move on from him. Kevin Givens could split the double team with the best of them. Smallest defensive tackle. How the hell is that possible? Technique, discipline. If Halton can pick up those skills, because Halton's a better athlete, way higher ceiling. But God, crazy. I mean, Kevin Givens was with the Niners for six seasons as an undrafted free agent from 2019. Dude did his work. Injuries got it to him at the end. Grayson Halton has so much more upside. King Jake, what's up, man? Could Halton work beside Osa on third down? Yeah, but they do that NASCAR package stuff, and now you're going to start blitzing the Sam Backer with Raheem Morris with the wild card stuff. I doubt you're going to have a lot of two defensive tackles out there. Even if it is third and short, you probably still want a plugger, you know, CJ or Alfred Collins, but maybe not. Like, there will be times where it's okay having three undersized, you know, or two undersized, three techniques out there at the same time. Just don't do it a lot. They just don't do it very much. But I'd be happy with that. Like, may the best man win. The Niners get a little too, especially defensively, offensively too, Kyle, if I'm going to be honest with you, they get a little too pigeonholed in, I want this type of player at that spot instead of just, I want my best 11. Kyle doesn't ever run four wide receivers, ever. It's not even in the playbook, ever. He doesn't run 13 personnel ever, unless it's a quarterback sneak on the goal line. We always use a big nickel. I don't like it. The 49ers kind of follow a code in the personnel groupings. I wish they were a little bit more relax the shoulders. Sean McVay, let's get our best 11 out there. That's where McVay shines in the NFL is, why not? Let's make it work. Shanahan, that's not what we do. Rigid versus flexible. Now, Shanahan, that's a knock on Shanahan, but I love Kyle Shanahan. It's just, yeah, we're allowed to have some critiques. That's okay. Shane, what's up, man? Glad to see you here, man. Grayson Halton is going to feast on tired offensive linemen. That's the cool thing. You're an offensive guard, and you're going against one-on-one Oso Digizua, nonstop. You get to the sideline, come back out. Now you got this young buck out trying to prove something. He's going to step into a really good situation. I'm pretty freaking pumped. This train don't stop there anymore. how many guys can you keep? The 49ers usually keep five defensive tackles. Now, the rotation for the longest time was six DNs and five defensive tackles. That flipped 2 years ago. Five defensive ends to six defensive tackles. So you're keeping 11 D linemen. How does that go? You start looking at that defensive tackle room. Dude, there's a lot of dude. There's a lot of cats. Osa, one. Alfred Collins, two. CJ West, three. Grayson Halton, four. Those four are 100% making the roster. No ifs, ands, buts about it, okay? Five, Sebastian Valdez. Six, Evan Anderson. That dude started his rookie year multiple games. James Thompson Jr., your highest paid priority free agent. And then Bryson Easton. That's eight. I don't know. Now, is somebody going to claim Sebastian Valdez off waivers? Nobody did it all of last year. Maybe you could slide him through. Is somebody going to claim Evan Anderson off waivers? Nobody did it all of last year. He was on the practice squad the whole time. James Thompson Jr. will get claimed probably. Wasn't drafted, so every team already passed over him in the draft. But you paid him the most you're allowed to pay a priority free agent to come here. I don't know how you do. You got to get kind of careful and sneaky and whatever. Yeah, we'll see, man. You got to get pressure. Got to get pressure. Can't wait for that battle in camp. Oh, can't wait for that battle in camp. 49er. 78 says, you know, the Niners should use Enrique Cruz at tight end. I've seen him catch passes. Again, Shanahan doesn't do that. Like, yeah, the tackle over and you bring an extra tackle out there. Buffalo Bills do it all the time. Joe Brady does it all the time. Guys do that all the time. Shanahan doesn't do that. He put Trent Williams one time as a tight end, sent him in motion, killed the guy, worked to perfection, never did it again. It's been 3 years since that. It's not Shanahan's MO. Shanahan is, here's our system, here's our plays, these work, the audibles are built in, we're good. We don't have to get creative, you know, Coach Winkler and the magic playbook. That's not what Shanahan does. Not saying I wish he wouldn't. I wish he would. And Enrique Cruz would be a perfect tight end three. He's so damn athletic. Put him out there as maybe Shanahan changes his stripes. Maybe. I probably wouldn't hold my breath. But, hey, maybe. Now, if you're in the Bay Area, oh, we're moving. We're about to go through this same process. And guess what we're doing? We're using this company 100%.
You want to support local business? You want to do what's right for the environment? Go to themattressguyco.com. Locally owned business, diehard Niner fan that supports the show, supports the 49ers Rush Road Trips. He is a legend. So if you have a mattress you want to get rid of, you just go to themattressguyco.com, set an appointment. They come pick it up. Easy peasy. Support. I mean, it's a win-win-win. Go to themattressguyco.com, support local business, and do what's right for the environment. I love it. It's a win.
I'm glad somebody got my Waterboy reference. That's good. Like, if you want me to highlight your comment, which I try to do a very good job to keep everybody involved, it's a one-man show over here. You acknowledge where my reference came from. I'll highlight those 100 out of 100 times. I'm a narcissist. Let's be honest. I started a podcast. There has to be something inherently wrong with you mentally. If you're like, oh yeah, I should start a podcast. People would want to hear me talk. Like, what kind of, what kind of person would do that? But I did. It's what it is. What are your best traits, John? Oh, I'm really humble. Sorry. Anyway, let's get back to it. We got one more player and we got to do it. Unpopular yet necessary. Jair Brown. Somebody's got to win this. I am not the Jair Brown guy. And what he does off the field just makes it even harder. It's like, dude, shut up. Just play some football. Like, I'm all for players' voices, and I want them to be able to put out whatever the hell they want to be at. But you're going to, like, argue with former 49ers. Now, you know, whatever's going on with that. Wintner's awesome, but, like, he's trying to start stuff now. Like, he's found, like, oh, I get traction if I just start fights with current players. It's the way he played. It's what it is. But, like, dude, you suck 2 years in a row. Shut up. Keep your head down. Get to work. Stop doing all this extra. You know what I mean? Don't do all that stuff. But Jair Brown, not my favorite player. by a long stretch. Let's just go through his journey. He's been with the Niners. This is the last year of his rookie deal. Thank God. But he's been good. His rookie year was his best year by a mile. Came into the roster countdown ranked 35 from the jump. Jumped up to 14 his rookie year. He was awesome. Like, got an interception in the Super Bowl versus Patrick Mahomes. He was, Steve Wilks made him look like a quality safety, possible Pro Bowl guy. He was 14 on the roster countdown in 2024. And then it was just like, ugh, what the hell, man? This dude, he's awful. Last year, he was 20th, put up his worst year yet. This year, 34. Somebody's got to win this damn job. Jair Brown, he's got the skill set. Where's jersey number 27? And it's just like, golly, I'm to the point now where I'm just, you know, he's about to get the barnacle treatment where I'm not going to say his name anymore. I don't like drawing negative attention to players. The positives, ball skills. He can cause turnovers. He's a turnover-making safety. That's the positives. I was like, all right, I need more. He's on his rookie deal. He's 26 years old. He finally gets quality coaching. My man Ben, you know, he put this, you know, in our notes section that this is one of the players he wants to see unfold this year. Does getting Fred Warner back coverage-wise, communication-wise, elevate Jair Brown's play? Does getting quality coaching from Jerry Gray hook him, one of the best defensive backs coaches in the NFL, does that kind of return the Steve Wilks, Jair Brown? Can he go back to his rookie year? Can he regress to positive play? Just so many negatives. Dude can't tackle for garbage. And even whenever I say he can't tackle, you'll see a play where he'll come up, the lights are on, and just bam, tackle in the backfield. He closes 12 yards from the hash and just tackle for loss. What the hell? What just happened? And then the very next play, he will human torch himself, stare at the ground, put his arms to his side, and dive and hit nobody. And it's just like, was it bring your kid to work day? How do you have this awesome play where it's like, dude, that was awesome. And then the very next play, what are you doing? Like you can't put your arms to the side and dive. And he'll take some of these plays in a game where he's scared of contact and just kind of throw his shoulder and just hug himself and make himself feel comfortable and just miss everybody. And like, even, you know, it's funny because PFF, they'll put on their missed tackle and they calculate those. Jair Brown had so many missed tackle opportunities that weren't even counted as missed tackles because he doesn't even touch the player, which you're an alley defender. He'll take a poor angle or he'll dive with his arms tucked and not even make contact. And it doesn't even count as a missed tackle. So the highs are high, the turnovers, the interceptions, the lows are as low as can be. And if I put together like a Jair Brown low lights, which I don't want to do, and I hope I never do it again. Sometimes I get so pissed off that I do it to a player and I always regret it and it gets a lot of views and then I hate it even more. But it's like I could put together a Jair Brown low lights and you would just be like, how is this dude in the NFL? But that's not the reality. There are highlights too. My number one thing in players I love is consistency. It was the same thing as a coach. Like, people like, see, I made that touchdown. Coach got to, like, dude, you make five mistakes and a touchdown. We can't win with that. That's not how you win football. That's a Jair Brown player. You got to get consistent, man. And he gets in the starting lineup. They bench Marquise Siegel. They put Jair Brown back in. Shanahan gets on there and says, yeah, you can't get beat deep in cover three, which you cannot. Marquise Siegel did. They yanked him out of the starting lineup, put in Jair Brown. Back-to-back weeks, he did the same thing for touchdowns. And then crickets, and you just keep Jair Brown in. Like, I'm just like, dude, why don't you stay with the rookie that has the upside? Jair Brown's in his third damn year. Yeah. Let's get to the history of Jair Brown. I got to jump the gun there. My bad. call me Tig. His nickname is Tig because he reminded the family of Tigger from Winnie the Pooh. I was Pooh Bear. That was my nickname growing up. Went to Lackawanna, then Penn State, and wears jersey number 27. He's 5'11", 200 pounds, 26 years old. Born and raised in Trenton. And I know a lot of people love him because we got a lot of East Coast Niners. I know Mike Andrews, one of my favorite human beings in the world. I know that he knows some of the family members. You know, Jair Brown goes, he transfers from Lackawanna to Penn State and was awesome there. He was incredible. 16 career takeaways in three seasons, multiple-time team captain, named Rose Bowl game defensive MVP, two-time team. Like, he was awesome there. He was awesome. But he was surrounded by awesome. Comes to the NFL, good rookie year. He was drafted 87th overall in the 2023 third round. Maybe the worst round of draft picks ever in 49ers history. I understand there's worse draft picks. But you walk out of that third round. I'm sorry, guys. We got to do this. We're doing this. You walk out of that third round with Jair Brown, who you traded up for, Cameron Latu, and Jake Moody. Here's what makes it worse. Sorry, we're going to keep doing this. We're going to get through it, guys. So just hug yourself like you're about to be Jair Brown, form tackling a player coming up the middle. And make yourself feel comfortable. We're going to get through this together. I got you, okay? There's light at the end of the tunnel. I hope it's not a train. These are the players that went after Jair Brown. Again, Niners walked out of that third round with three players. Jake Moody, Cameron Latu, and Jair Brown. These are the players that went after. Tank Bigsby, Kobe Turner, DeMarvion Overshown, Darnell Washington, Michael Wilson, Jordan Battle, Trey Tucker, Anthony Perford. How do you get those three? And you could have had any of those other ones. Man. That like, you got to hit something eventually. Like, you had three dart throws, and you just missed. Oh. It's like Bob Uecker. Just a bit outside. Like, golly, man. You're just surrounded by talent. And you could not have missed more. Now, Jair Brown's still playing. And the highs are high. The dude intercepted Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. You cannot. That is, could have been the play of the game. Could have delivered the sixth Lombardi. All that is there. It just hasn't happened, man. It just hasn't happened. And so, the injuries, the lack of consistency, I don't know what to do. I struggle with number 27, probably more than I should. Man. All right, let's get to the chat. Kimbro, what city you moved to? We're moving to Emeryville, which I've been on the phone with internet providers and all that fun stuff today. That's what I've been doing. Yeah, the moving process, not fun. But I do have to say this. The wife and I are taking our anniversary trip. You're going to get a couple weeks without John. And this is something I've never done before. But it's our 20th anniversary. We're heading over to Europe. We've been saving for this trip for multiple years. And I was like, man, if she leaves me, I'll just go on my own trip. But I'm joking. Kind of. But I'm sorry I joke about that. I probably should. Everything's fine with us. Anyway, we're going over to Europe. So you're not going to get any 49ers Rush content for a couple weeks. I've never done that before. But hopefully you guys will allow me that time. I'm not even bringing my computer. So if there's like major breaking news, I'll just do like a cell phone something and load it and whatever. It's going to be a good time. I'm excited about it. I'm a little nervous about walking away for a couple weeks because this is just what I do all the time. Like, I haven't done that. But the wife asked me not to bring the computer, so I'm doing it. I'm doing that. Yeah, I'm staying in the Bay Area. I'm going to be over in Emeryville right by the Bay Bridge, just on the, you know, Oakland side. That's what it is. These comments, man. And I do agree with this, Howdy. Once Siegel learns to use his eyes and look back at the ball, he'll be a stud. Siegel has such a higher ceiling. He's so much faster. He's the best tackling 49er. Like, he's always in the right place. He's just got to start making plays. That's the one area Jair Brown has the advantage. Jair Brown makes plays. He makes offenses pay with turnovers. But yeah, Marquise Siegel, I would have never gone back to Tig, or I would have rotated. I wish the Niners, again, back to kind of their set in stones, I wish they would have rotated safeties last year. But they just don't do that. All of this shade. Hate. Hate you, and I don't even know you. Hope only bad things happen to you. Love it. Maria, yeah, Jair Brown just doesn't wrap up. I hate watching him just dive at guys and get nothing. Give me Siegel. I think he makes a jump this season. Oh, man. Ugh. All right, yeah. Yeah, dive at guys and get nothing. You see what you hit. You hit what you see. You look at the ground, you're going to be on the ground. Kello Witherspoon, Ambry Thomas, Jair Brown. I'm not high on those types of players. I'm just not. Never have been. It's football. It's not 7-on-7. This ain't flag football. Jair Brown would be a perfect flag football player. Perfect. Elite 3 code, change the direction, good hands. Ugh. Yeah. Stayed away. Oh, we got a super bad reference in the chat. I freaking love that, man. That is awesome. Yeah, I'm staying away. Yeah. Oh, Pig in a Pickle's happening with Larry. Yeah, I've been there before. I need to go there. And yeah, it's happening 100%. Yeah, right here. Dave, John's a world traveler this year. 3 continents in a year. Yeah, man. Wasn't the plan, because we've been planning this anniversary trip for, I don't know, 3-4 years. It just, you know, slowly keeping money set aside so that we could do this. And then sure enough, I said, made the promise, I'm never going to miss a 49ers international game again. So then Australia comes on the map and it's like, oh, damn, we're going. It's pricey, which if you want to be a part of that all-inclusive package, you better hurry up. It's about to be locked up. So if you are on the fence about coming to Australia and you want everything included, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, it's about to be locked. So it's now or never if you're going to join us. But then, all right, we're doing the Europe trip. We've been paying that off. And then we get the Australia trip. We're going to do it no matter what it costs. I want to be there. I want to build that moment for other people. And then they put Mexico on there, which, you know, I ain't missing Mexico. I already started talking about tacos. It's a lot of miles this year, but that's all right. We're going to make it work. The last Eero, appreciate the super chat. Based on the Bond hearing, it looks like the allegations against Terrion Arnold may have been overblown. Would you take a flyer on him? Hell no. No. I want to give mad props. One, corner is not a weakness for the 49ers, so I don't have whatever. Two, mad props to Matt Campbell and the Detroit Lions for releasing him. And I'm not even saying he did or didn't, whatever. And yeah, I saw some of the Bond hearing. My thing is, you lie to your head coach, and that, you know, the Lions, they came out and they released a statement. They knew about this situation. They sat down with Terrion Arnold, and they're like, dude, be honest with us. Tell us exactly what's going on. He tells me he had nothing to do with it. He's just caught up in it. Like, his friends, he had nothing to do with it. Whatever else. They said, look, dude, if more comes out, we're going to let you go. So you need to be honest with us. I promise. Swear, right? This is my own reenactment of what happened. All these details come out, which prove that he lied to the face of his head coach. Gone. Kyle Shanahan already did this. This is the Reuben Foster move. Dude, what's going on? We're going to stand behind you. Richard Sherman was awesome. We're going to be there. We're going to be supporting you. All those things. All this is in the past, right? Then Reuben Foster brings that same girl to the team hotel and gets in another altercation. Your ass gone. I ain't got time for that. Your priority is not football. Your priority is not the team. It's not the locker room. It's not our relationship. Get your shit and go. Football is a privilege, not a right. It is not. Now, there are plenty of teams, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Dallas Cowboys, Seattle Seahawks, Philadelphia Eagles. There's a lot of teams out there that don't give a shit about that. And it's not like the 49ers roster is full of all, you know, whatever, you know, Boy Scouts and blah, 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 blah. But you read those allegations, it's the dumbest. Like, that is like a middle school plan gone awry. They literally started a group chat about kidnapping people. They started a group chat. Now, how much Terrion Arnold's involved in all those things, whatever else. But Maybe you wait till everything has completely concluded, the legal system, everything else. But no, I'm not taking a flyer. One, it's not a big need. Two, I don't want dumbasses like that on my team. I'm good staying away. That's just me. Can't do it. Can't do it right there. Why did they draft Reuben Foster? Now the blame John or Harbaugh. I think this is Reuben Foster. Yeah, Reuben Foster. Now the blame John Harbaugh for drafting him, even though it was much later. I don't understand that one. My bad, dude. I'm not smart enough to get that one. So sorry about that. Hey, command. There's lots of places he can go. So I'm just, yeah, I don't even think. I think that kid just needs to get his life right and figure it out and get on the backside of this, go through the legal process, all those things, and then focus on other stuff. He's God-gifted talent. That's great. Not enough for me. It's not enough for me. I just don't want that. I don't want that distraction. I don't want that. You've got plenty of corners. Not an issue. But that's my, again, I approach this from a high school coach perspective. These guys are trying to win championships. Terrion Arnold's a good player. He's not a great player. He's good. I'm staying away. What's up, Sin? Appreciate you guys. But yeah, this has been fun. I might be able to get a show out tomorrow. I've got an insane day. Obviously, the United States is playing in the World Cup. So the time Larry and I go live, I will not be going live. I haven't talked to Larry about that yet. He's going to be mad at me. But he's a freaking man. So yeah, I will not be going live tomorrow night. We usually do a Wednesday night show, but with the World Cup playing, we will not be doing that. I'll figure out if I could try to get a show in early on, but then I fly out early the next day. So we might get a show tomorrow. I'm going to fight for one. But we might not, in which case it'd be the last time for a couple weeks you hear from me. But there's lots of other content creators out there. Go listen to 40 Hours Cutback, Wayne, Krug. Man, there's so many studs out there. Johnny Dale Football Show. Go check them out. Now would be a good time to find a couple new shows. Not to replace us, but if you find somebody you like more, dude, that's okay. If we played a small role in making your fandom any better, even if that is listening to another show, that's a good thing. Not a bad thing. I don't take that as a loss. But this has been fun. And yeah, 49ers unpopular yet necessary players. I'm Ron Burgundy. Jair Brown, Luke Farrell. But we always got Grayson Halton, right? And that, yeah, I like that guy. You guys are the best of the best. Appreciate you spending some time with us today. And until next time, hopefully tomorrow, but if not, 2 weeks. Stay strong, faithful. Peace.